Do you listen to a lot of music when you're not performing it yourself?
Yeah, I go in phases. Sometimes I'm listening. You know, like right now, I've got music on. And other times I go through phases where I really kind of don't want to hear anything. And so I pop back and forth on all that stuff.
Do you have any favorite musicians or albums that might be surprising to some of your fans?
Well, I had a jazz fusion period of my listening, and folks might be surprised about some of that, like especially California jazz fusion of the 70s. When I do go to live music, oddly enough, I go to like symphony and classical music. Nashville has a world-class symphony orchestra, and I bet I go to a show like that more than I go to, you know, a pop or rock or folk or country thing or this or that. In terms of, you know, on my own time off, what would I do? I probably listen and appreciate rock more than I did when I was a teenager in my 20s. That might surprise some people that at, you know, my age now that I'm more into rock and that sensibility and that listening than I was even when it would have been age appropriate.
I was surprised, very pleasantly so, when you popped up on Robert Plant's Band of Joy record. What was that experience like, and how did you hook up with that band?
Yeah, how I hooked up with Robert and the Band of Joy was through Buddy Miller, who produced that record, and Buddy, who, while producing it, chose a four-piece studio band. I was one of those four. So I was sort of the multi-instrumentalist guy. I could play some banjo or a mandolin or pedal steel, and I also sang harmony and all that kind of stuff. So I became one of the four for the recording of that album. And then Robert Plant liked the band and the sound and everything. He said, I want that exact band out on the road, and we all very much wanted to. So we spent all in all about 2 years, but a year and a half of travel. You know, not solid, but from first gig to last gig was a year and a half. So it started with Buddy Miller, and it was a great experience and great gathering with Robert Plant and Buddy Miller specifically.
Was it a different musical experience for you being part of a larger group, playing largely other people's music and not having so much of the focus on yourself?
No, that's where I came from to begin with. I was always a sideman. I was always playing other people's music. As a studio musician, I was always playing other people's stuff. As a road musician and in my early years, in my teens and early 20s, being in a bar band or honky-tonk band or whatever, it was always covers, and I was always supporting somebody else's music, which was a great skill set to have. I could be employed, but also it's a great skill set to bring to my own music as well.
What do you look for in a musical collaborator?
Well, you know, I think the first place to start is mutual respect. And I can cite that through co-writing and songs, you know, or even playing in a studio or playing live or whatever. That respect thing has to be like the place to start. Otherwise, it seems like whoever thinks they're the leader or the boss or the better player or whatever, you know, will start pushing their weight around when they kind of really don't need to. You know, if we all understand that we respect one another's abilities, that's the starting place. So it may sound obvious, but I think it needs to be said, you know. And the other thing I've been really lucky to do is play with great people, you know, whether it was in the studio or live. I really get to play with amazing musicians and have for a long time. I'm a very lucky dude in that department.
A couple of years ago, you released Couchville Sessions, which were very old recordings. I think they came from the very beginning of the aughts. What surprised me about the album was how not dated the songs sounded. Were you surprised at how the record seemed like it could have been recorded right before it came out?
No, I'm not surprised by that. I believe music is timeless, especially good music. A Ray Charles track, if you hear it on the radio or anywhere you might hear it, is like, wow, that's great. No matter when it came out, you know. And songs particularly are timeless. The better the song, the more timeless they are. And so they don't really have, you know, a decade in which they only could really be of any importance or listenability in, you know, a very short shelf life. I think really good music has a very long and strong shelf life. So I know music goes in a fashion or fashion goes with music type of thing, but music I want to be a part of doesn't have such a time calendar to it. It hopefully would sound good, you know, the day it got recorded and 30 years, 50 years past that, if possible. So, you know, I don't worry about a timeline like that. To me, I hadn't worked on the record for 13 or 14 years, but it didn't mean like, oh, that's my old self, and I don't really honor that or like that anymore. I don't feel that way about music. Music is timeless.
What do you think you would be doing if you didn't make music for a living?
Well, for many decades, I always thought I'd be a truck driver. There was a time in my life in my younger years where just moving, and that's where being a road musician, a traveling musician, suited me because, you know, I can drive long hours. I can hunt out, sniff out, you know, the good restaurants or the good park to sit in, you know, at a picnic table. Or I'm a traveler. I'm a wanderer. I know how to do that. So I always thought truck driving, and then I got to the point where I've been driving around the country, you know, quite long enough. I kind of hit the mark, and now I don't think I'd be doing the truck driving situation. I think maybe something in food. I love to cook. I might have been something in a food kind of way, a chef or a restaurant owner who cooked or something like that.
Do you enjoy performing live?
I do. I don't enjoy so much the getting there or the going away anymore, but the time of playing music, it's almost like the most natural thing I do is to play music, whether that's with people, you know, like you mentioned, Robert Plant and the Band of Joy, or if it's solo, or like the last time I played at Murray State with Kenny Malone with me, you know, it was just the two of us. And I like playing with others. I like playing by myself. I like interacting with an audience. I don't come prepared with a set list, usually because I want to find out how the night's going to go. We make the night together, me and the audience, as far as I'm concerned. It's not I, you know, prepare some exacting set of music and things I say in between songs, and then I repeat that in every town I go to. That doesn't make any sense to me. I adjust in real time about right in front of an audience. And so that part I like about it too, and it keeps it fresh for me instead of knowingly repeating myself, you know, time after time after time. That has no interest to me. I want to find out where the audience is. You know, do I have to win them over? Are they already fans? Do they know my songs? You know, is there a piano at the place? And I'll play some piano stuff. And yes, I enjoy that part of it. That's kind of like being right in the moment and just kind of being on the edge in a certain kind of way.
When you perform at the Lordtown Art and Music Festival, it's going to be outside and at night. As a performer, are there big differences in performing inside and outside? And then if you are outside, is a day or nighttime set very different for you?
You know, again, I kind of adjust to whatever setting I'm in. I mean, I've done everything from play prisons to churches to, you know, playing to 80,000 people, playing at Wrigley Field, for example, or a house concert of 20 people. And all of them have their own expectation and their own way of whatever I'm going to bring to that thing, to that evening. So what's going to happen at Paducah, which is really interesting, is I've got a band that's going to play there with me, and it's a really cool band of Shad Cobb on fiddle, who's played with me for years, just a world-class fiddle player, just like there's just kind of nobody better. My brother Dale will be on drums, and he's flying in from California for that gig, and then I've got my friend Yvette Landry playing bass, but she's flying in from down in Louisiana. She's a real Cajun, and so she's bringing a Cajun accordion and playing electric bass. And my son will be on some bass as well, and I'll be there playing mostly electric. Because the way I see it, that arts festival there, and yes, I make adjustments toward that. So we're the closers of the night, and there's you know, artisans all day long. And I figure we're going to do sort of an electric, maybe even honky-tonk type of set, you know, dancing, more, you know, known songs of mine. I'm not going to do my dark and brooding stuff. And so it'll be a set catered toward, you know, the festival and the downtown and, you know, playing in a street area, nighttime, and there have been bands all day, and it's been fun and the sun and all that good stuff. So yeah, that requires a different set, and I hope to be bringing that with basically more of an electric situation than an acoustic situation.
Thanks so much, Daryl.
Thank you so much.